We're back for round two.
Round two. Okay, let's have our Moses conversation.
Financial trauma. Is your camera on or?
Wait, my camera's. Oh, yeah, I'm back. Now I'm
There we
back.
go.
Sorry.
We don't.
I was on privacy.
I don't want you out of focus or anything. So,
Yeah, so.
we were talking about, I mean, first of all, the staggering level of financial anxiety in our society, but let's talk about positive experiences, people you've helped overcome
Yeah.
this trauma that we all, I think, have experienced at some point in our life. And
Yeah.
what has been your experience in helping people transcend, and where do they go from that moment of freedom?
Yeah. Let's take the example we just talked about the 125,000 that was actually 27,000 euros, right? After 2 years paying a little bit, like 50, 70 euros a month, then the tax office said, well, let's forget about it. We'll just write it off. It's okay. But meanwhile, in the 2 years, we had some coaching sessions and we were talking about it doesn't matter what the amount is, if it gets bigger, larger, smaller, or whatever. Who are you? If you are unstable, what would you do? And then we were writing down all kinds of things. In the beginning, of course, a little bit underwater, it was like fear and doubt. I want this, but, and then you throw it away immediately. And then, as you know, I always talk openly about God. I said, well, have you asked God already? He says, no, but I don't go to church anymore. I'm ashamed. I say, about what? Because I used to be an entrepreneur, having money and a car, and now I have nothing. I say, well, how can you say you have nothing? You have your family, you have your church, you have God, you have yourself. I can make a list, I can go on and on. And then the first two times I went to church with him, and we didn't talk about what was the sermon or whatever. We just went to church just to stabilize. And after a while, he said, well, I know what you mean. I should talk to God, and I'm never alone because I'm with God. And then everything started to change. See, it doesn't matter if it's, I don't, I'm not promoting or selling one God or a God, but this is just my God or a belief.
A
A belief
belief.
is something a belief is something that is sure. See, and if you're underwater, you have fear and doubt. Fear and doubt is not sure. It can go up, down, whatever. I can lose my job and I cannot pay this or whatever. But belief is sure. It's 100%. And if you can go to the 100% steady knowledge that there is something that is steady, then you will be even more steady because nothing can hurt you. If there's something that is steady, it's like swimming in water and you know there's a little island or a buoy, you can swim to the buoy and you can stand and take some time off, like la la la, I'll wait till I'm refreshed again and I'll start swimming the other part of the journey. So this started to change the person, and now he has a very good business. He's totally different to his family. He's much more loving to his children because now he will listen more, he will talk more. And he says, I teach by example. Now I know it's my frequency. You know, we talk a lot about frequency, right? You don't say anything and you approach a dog, and why does a dog bite you and doesn't bite me? Because you have a fear for the dog, and the dog thinks, oh my God, why is he sending out the signal? Ah, and he bites you. But if you're totally at ease and you say, oh, hi, doggy, the thing's like, oh, well, nothing wrong here. Let's sniff and see what kind of smell this guy has. So it's your frequency changes your environment. So what we did with this person, with this client, his whole environment started to change. And if your environment starts to change, now you can take more risky steps because nothing can go wrong because your environment will be there to, when you fall, they will pick you up. When you make a mistake, they don't say it's a mistake. Keep on trying. Keep on going. keep on trying. So you need the balance system around you, but the system can only balance if you are in the center of the balance. So now he knows he's the center of his family, right? He's the center. He is the one making everybody feel well. Now teaching everybody in the family that it's also their concern to feel well and then to make the other one feel well. So now we have a bundle of people above water, not living in fear and doubt, knowing that when fear and doubt comes, you forget that there's one stable point. And the stable point can be God. It can be your best friend. It can be somebody who's always above water. You know, you have to find somebody. And then you have to immediately, when you feel fear and doubt, say that you feel fear and doubt. Otherwise, you will internalize. It will get bigger, bigger, bigger.
Yeah. And we've been socialized to internalize that anxiety as opposed to sharing it with others and trusting that others are inherently giving and loving. If you have a good friend who says, you know, Eric, I'm your friend and I'm going, you know, can I be authentic with you because I care about you?
Exactly.
And that's exactly. That to me is so. Yeah, this shaming, this internalization of the shame is what then.
And this also is also broken up by society because this is by design, because the Bible, it says if you have to confess, then you have to go to a priest, right? But it wasn't in the older versions of the Bible. It says you can confess to anybody. See, because we're all children of God. So I talk to another child of God that's above water and I'm under water, so I can talk to him. See, because God listens to everything we say. So talk to the vessel that's above water, and then it will be transmitted to God. And then, you know, because if you take that out of the Bible, then there are only specific people you can talk to replenish yourself. It's crazy. It's like you're saying, if you say, Eric, if there's anything you want to talk about, just call me. Time doesn't matter. I have a really good feeling about you, and I'm really concerned for you to be above water. And if there's something bringing you underwater, talk to me. Because the thing you need in life is somebody reminding you how wonderful you are.
Right.
And only people that are above water, so they love themselves unconditionally, they don't care to say, Mark, you're the best person I know. Not lying, nothing. But if you're underwater, you're resentful, right? Why are you so happy? Why don't you buy a house? Mm-hmm. I buy a house. Why don't you buy a house? Why don't you work for 10,000 euros? Why do you go and do this? And it's external concern is breaking down the need for internal solutions. You start looking at other people. And this is by design. By design, in this society, we are taught and told to look at somebody else and then copy what he has. Mm-hmm. He has a Tesla, I want a Tesla. He has a Mercedes-Benz, I'm going to do anything I can to buy a Mercedes-Benz. So, and then we forget that maybe we are not supposed to have the Mercedes-Benz right now, but what do we already have? Happiness. So we were talking in our break about emotion. The most important thing in life that we are looking for is emotion.
Right. And you're saying that now we're even offered, now there's even a market for emotion.
Exactly. You can go to any park, like whatever, go into a track and almost die.
Yes.
Why do people almost want to die? Because somewhere we know emotion is the most important thing that we can feel in life, and we as human beings in this form.
Mm-hmm.
But then we are told, no, it's not here in the middle, it's here, it's on the left, it's almost dying, adrenaline, no, it's love, it's on the other side. Fear and doubt is on this side, I almost died, it almost feels the same, see? Because a lot of like hormones and stuff in your body almost feels the same. It's like I'm fearful or I'm alert, almost the same. But it's not the same. I'm alert, then I put it on like, oh, I'm alert. What's happening? I'm fearful. It's on. And it's 100%. And it's crazy. So when something is almost the same, like fear, almost dying in an amusement park. And here you have like unconditional love. It feels, it glows as much as, but it stays. It's
right.
Longer, prolongs, it stays. This one is a short one. Then you have to repeat it. Let's go to the park again. No, I don't like it. Well, I can go every week. I know. But then you still have to put something more. And now I have to bungee jump. Now I have to jump out of a helicopter because this is not sustainable. It doesn't stay.
Well, this is kind of gets into this whole science and theory of happiness. You know, you'd say, well, one of my friends said, you know, happiness is a moment, can be a moment to moment emotion, like, as opposed to joy, which you can is more long lasting and can be experienced even when you're in chronic pain, right? So yeah,
because the pain doesn't matter.
No.
Because the pain is just something asking you to show life that you are not concerned about the pain because you have to trust for the healing.
Right. So
it's really strange because if you handle this, then you have like financial emotion is like, I need to have you in complete fear. So you will listen to the loudest voice.
Right.
And the loudest voice is your society, because if 95% of the people around you say that you have to do something, you will do it. But if you are fearless, so no fear, no doubt, but you have a steady love, unconditional love for yourself. So I think that's God. If you love yourself unconditionally, then you know what God is. God has no conditions. He has rules. He has laws.
There's laws. There's, and this is the thing we forget too. There are laws of.
There are laws.
There's laws of the universe. I mean, indigenous people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People, I also coach people that don't believe in God. I say, okay, every time I say God, you have to think that I say law. Because God is law.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why is there war? I said he's law. He has to also has to apply the law. There's a rule. If you do this, then this.
Don't kill each other.
Don't do it otherwise.
There will be intergenerational whatever trauma, vengeance, and
it's law. Law has if you break the law, then there is also a rule, and then we have to rule.
Can we talk? I mean, I'm going to bring up my own experience of overcoming my financial anxiety.
Yeah.
And my wife remembers, oh yeah, you were full of anxiety, right? As a business person, when I left government, you know, comfortable government job, you know, 23 years ago, and thinking, why would anyone ever hire a former economist, right? And you know, it took a long time because you're an entrepreneur. You hope, you know, I always laugh and say, I hope the phone rings because, but in that time of great, I would say, sometimes overwhelming anxiety, there was a moment when I went deep into my own, say, bottom of the well.
And
a friend of mine said, you know, when you take the last eyedropper of anxiety out of the bottom of your well, then you're free.
Exactly.
And nothing, you know, then you say, well, I surrender to what? I surrender to abundance, the law of plenty, and that's hard to surrender. It's hard to say, I give up.
Yeah.
I let go, and now it's God's business plan.
Yeah.
And I can say, well, I don't even know how to coach you on that. All to say is like my own experience has taught me to live in that freedom of anxiety, freedom from anxiety.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, the phone actually did ring. And then your mind goes, well, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, I could be a good barista at a coffee shop because I like, you know.
So it's actually the path of finding the unconditional love for yourself. So I am not, I studied architecture. I worked as an architect for 6 months.
Yeah. But
I'm not, Eric is not an architect. I'm not a coach. I am not financial emotion. I'm something that can be and decide to be anything I want.
Right.
It's all about your decision. If you love yourself unconditionally, so no conditions. Now you're connected to the universe. You're connected, in my opinion, to God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now you have the freedom. Now you have the red phone to God, right?
Yeah.
Most of the people, they don't know what to ask.
Right.
Because what they will ask, they will immediately say, okay, leave it.
That's
I want
right.
Somebody, I want really, God, listen to me. I want somebody to call me and give me an assignment for 3 million. It will not happen. I know. Well, not, 3 million is maybe too much. And then you start breaking.
You're saying we're
down. Blah, 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 blah.
We're told whatever we pray for, right? Whatever we pray for in our confidence in God will be answered. And yet we self-sabotage
exactly.
immediately.
Exactly.
I'm not actually worthy.
Worse.
Yeah.
If you're worthy, so you love yourself unconditionally, there's no conditions for to be the best person in the world. Then you first have to forgive yourself for all your deeds in the past. Okay. Now you have to forgive everybody else. Most of the people don't even get there. So if you don't do that, you order and then break down your order. You go to McDonald's and say, I want a Happy Meal. Well, I think you don't. You start talking. And then the guy in the counter says, oh my God, this is the crazy guy again. He talks to himself. He never orders anything. We have a Happy Meal. Do you want a Happy Meal? Yeah, but I don't think you, maybe it's Wednesday. And so you start breaking down your own order. So you have to be first at ease. Then be sure that you have to be happy after you ask something. If you ask something in the universe, you only ask it once. People don't understand this. I pray every day. I say, and you ask the same question? Really?
Did you ever
That's say annoying.
Thank you?
That's annoying.
It is annoying.
Let's go to the McDonald's.
Ringing God's bell. Like, what do you want? Every day you ask the same thing and you...
No, but you keep asking it. It's
yeah.
McDonald's, you're standing there, drive-through, Happy Meal, Happy Meal, Happy Meal, Happy Meal. because you want to be sure to have your Happy Meal, right?
Yeah.
Happy Meal, Happy Meal. And the other person starts thinking, it's crazy. So, okay, now you start to imagine, how does God perceive you if you ask a question 200-300 times? You do not believe. Only a person that doesn't believe will ask you twice. Eric, will you help me moving my stuff in a week? Yes. Do you really want it? I'm like, oh my God, this is annoying.
Yeah.
And the next day he calls you. So you are going to help me next? Yeah. And the next day he calls you again. So let me be sure. Let me just for me and anything, this guy's crazy. I will not help him move his stuff.
We've had many of those experiences in our life. Yeah. It's
exactly.
It's...
So it's first belief, then feel that it's right for you, then ask, and then immediately after you have asked, now you have to celebrate. We were talking about a woman is pregnant. It's like this, two cells are just connected and she's already happy. It will be in 9 months. It will take 9 months and she's already happy. We have to learn that if we ask, and we know it will be given, start a party right now.
Start celebrating.
But society tells us, this is a stupid guy. He's already having a party. He has no money. This is strange. You first have to have the object and then celebrate that you have the object. I don't do that.
So I want to go a little bit tangential here because the reason I was standing in front of that the room of bankers was because of my friend Ivo Valkenburg, who is a Ho'oponopono practitioner. And I know that his story had to do with financial emotion, going bankrupt, feeling the shame father's a banker, brother's very successful actuarial in Europe. And then trying to work through that through this ancient Hawaiian Polynesian process called Ho'oponopono, which means to make right what is right, to return back to basically your essence, that inner child, like why you're here on the planet, with four simple lines, you know, please forgive me, I'm sorry, you know, I love you, a type of mantra that will release him, right, ultimately. And sadly, now Vivo has passed away. And what is your, I know you're not a Ho'oponopono practitioner, but in a way you're helping people in that process going through those financial emotions. What's your reflection on, not to focus on Ivo, but, and he's probably smiling from up above, but it's, I'm intrigued with your thoughts about, you know, was he actually able to overcome? Did he truly fall in love with himself the way that we're speaking of? And what prevents people from making that basically an ultimate, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is the programming of mother and father are so harmful for people that if you don't see it as harmful, you will not clean it up.
Right.
See, I'm very, very, I'm now a little bit, I'm trying to tell you something. If you don't know it was manipulation, you will not start to clean it up. Because if I say manipulation, a lot of people get angry. I was not manipulated, blah, 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 blah. Of course you were manipulated. It's normal. It doesn't sound right, but it's normal. Why? Go back to that age of your parents. They manipulate. If you don't do it, I don't love you, blah, 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 blah. It's all manipulation.
Absolutely.
But now you first have to agree that it's manipulation. Now you have to clean it up. Then you can forgive them. You can forgive yourself. And now it's only about you. But if you do not do this, if you do not clean up your library, it's your past, right? If you do not, a library, your library, it's set up in alphabetic order or subject or whatever. Our brain is not like this because we didn't spend the time to clean it up.
That's correct. So you've nailed it. You know,
so you can go Ho'oponopono, whatever. I can be into God. I can go to church. But if I do not clean this up, suddenly I will think about something negative. I'll be underwater and then I will curse, right?
Because they've never actually forgiven the trauma that might have been your parents' own experience.
Exactly.
And I love the word, if we break the word down, forgive.
Yeah.
You know, you split it, you're like, forgive. What do you mean, forgive? And we were reflecting at the break on giving. And so maybe
giving and trading, because I think a lot of people, because they don't know what giving and trading is, the difference. Trading is, okay, well, and we are taught at a very young age that trading is the thing. I'll give you this, but then you have to give me this back. I will not give you this if you don't give it back to me. And then we think this is the normal way of doing things. But that's not unconditional. I help people. I think only 20 to 30% of people the last 2 years paid me.
Wow.
All the other people, I ask God, is this the person? And then I hear yes, and then I go.
Wow.
I even drive 1 or 2 hours. I go to them and I help them. Because the thing is, I do not help them. I help myself. I help myself to see what wonderful person I am to do this in God's will. So now I feel like, this is what I am. I'm not the architect. I'm not the guy that introduced Apple into Europe. I'm not this. I'm not a blah, 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 blah. I am a tool that has to do what I feel that people need, and then I can help more people be above water. So, okay.
So that's probably the greatest thing you've said in the last 50 minutes. No, not the greatest thing, but to the heart of our preamble was about how do we know why, what do we know we're here to do? What is our gift, right? What exactly. did And we know our gift when, as you say, when we respond to the call and we go, and we like, why has Eric got a special insight into financial emotion? I don't know. It's like, why is this economist fascinated with the money system and wants to return it back to an economy? I have a burning sense of how to do that, right?
But so the thing is, in our society, we call this intuition, because we don't want to say God too much.
Right.
Intuition is God talking.
We
say intuition, because what is intuition? So start explaining intuition. I have a feeling. You have what? Based on what?
That's right.
My intuition said I had to go to the left. Based on what? What information is there in your brains? And what do you know about this left road? Nothing. So there must be something saying to you, go to the left. And this is what a long time ago we talked about this, Mark. A shaman. What does a shaman do? He specializes in listening to the voice of the universe, and so for me, God. He's tuning his radio station into the right frequency where he can receive this. And then he talks to his people like, listen, I will tune, I'll be right back, and I will tell you what they say. See, this is the popular way of saying how a shaman works, but this is how it works.
Right.
And there are people that can do this. We as a people can do this. But absolutely, we don't all have to be shamans, but we already are. We are shamans for each other, but we have to talk in the frequency of shamans, and that's love. So that's, you're in need. I have a pen. You need a pen. Here's a pen. I'll give you $1. No, you need a pen. I have many pens. I'll give you a pen. And then I feel so much like I've contributed something into the whole. And this person will say, oh, thank you. And so now the frequency of thank you and real, real love. You know, this was my favorite pen many years ago, blah, 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 blah. I had this with the big pen, the blue. It's just that I have lots of, I go to a lot of congress and things, so I have a lot of pens.
My wife said that I have like a bucket full of pens. I said, what are we going to do with all these pens? I feel like embarrassed to have so many pens that are given to me. I said, why didn't you just give them to the, you know, the shelter or whatever? Like, I'm sure some new immigrant families could use. I said, that's a great idea. Like, why do I look at this guilty feeling of this bucket of pens that I can never use?
So now you're there. It's not guilt, because guilt is fear and doubt.
Yeah.
It's on the water. Unconditional love and ease. So now you're unconditionally loving yourself. Like, I have a very interesting collection of pens. I want to share love, right? So now you want to give it to somebody or somebodies, a lot of people that have use for this, because I do not have any use for this, but right, a lot of other people have use for this, and I have it. So I can share love, because you give, you don't trade.
Yeah. So let's reflect on that theme then. I have a better insight. So this theme of giving, and you know, we were reflecting on that briefly. What happens emotionally when people have overcome their, say, financial anxiety and transcend that? And now, and you're right. I think one of the hardest things is to experience what it's truly loved like to give unconditionally, which has to be experienced. And what do you observe when people sort of like, oh, that's what this means? It's not just about being a philanthropist with my millions, but something deeper.
Well, the thing is, when people unconditionally, so no conditions in giving, sharing, talking, walking, there's no conditions. So I don't have to do this to feel better about myself. I'm just the best version of what I am. Then you start seeing this in other people. So now you're at the highest frequency. Now you're above water, right? If you're above water, you have air, everything, you can breathe, in my example.
Yeah, that's right.
Fresh air, you have sunlight, so you make a serotonin, so your happy hormones, everything is going to work out right. But if you're there, above water, you can order anything and you will get it immediately. So a lot of people, so successful people in money success, they use it. They go up, they order, they get, and then they go down again. But what if you stay up? You stay up, you order something, you get it, and then you share the knowledge. You share the frequency of happiness. And the frequency of happiness is, I share this moment with you so you can copy this moment. That's what I do. I teach people how to order things in life and get it. And then you have to, what you order, you have to receive. You have to recognize it first. Then you have to receive it. So you have to thank somebody, right? if the postman comes with a package, hey, thanks, man. So now you order something in life and I order a microphone, I get a microphone. Suddenly somebody gives me a microphone. I have to thank the person, and I thank God, because God is listening. And then, so you order, you recognize, you receive, and then you enjoy it. I have to enjoy, oh my, this is so wonderful that I have this microphone, because then you have to be, then you, now you have to tell your brain, this is something you did. So now it gets into your creation part of your brain. You say, I created this. I got this.
Right.
So now I know in what state I am when I order something and it comes. And this sounds really, really like it's, oh.
No, it's not. It's not, Eric, because
works like this. When I teach people this, they start doing this, and then it suddenly opens like. And in the beginning, it's small things. I had this girl. I promised you to tell you about this girl. One session. Eric, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to take time for myself. She took time for herself, and now everything goes smooth. I said, what do you really want in life? I want to be a model. Oh, no, no, no. I said, no. You are not allowed to break down your order. And then I gave her the example of McDonald's. She said, oh, that's stupid if some people do that. She did it. 2 days later, she's in a photo exhibition. Somebody comes up to her. Do you want to be a model for my web? This is a very famous website, but you're a model, right? And says, yes, I'm a model. Because I told her, if you say to you that you are a model, everybody knows you're a model. Everybody knows. She's beautiful, but if you say, I'm ugly, everybody will see fear and doubt. But if you start like, I'm a model. And I want to have, and now she has, everything is smooth. But she broke up with her boyfriend after coaching. She said, well, I already broke up with him, but he's still coming back. And I still let him. And every time when we meet, I go underwater. And then she says, now I'm sending him a letter. Can you read the letter? I said, of course I can read your letter. And it was perfectly written, like the right reasons, Vara, and still love. And she broke up, and then the next day she called me like, I have a feeling, because now your feeling is really on a higher level. Now you know things, right? She says, I think he will come to my home. I think he will break down the door. He still has a key. I said, well, listen, if you're above water, you fear nothing, and you know what will happen, what do you have to do? I have to go and buy a new key. She jumped on her bike, went to the shop. The shop says, well, I know you want a safety lock, but we don't have the safety lock anymore. We have the older version. It's only 30% of the new price, but it's the older version. She said, I don't care. She's a student. She doesn't have a lot more money. So she could buy the lock. It was a safety lock. She went home. She didn't know how it worked. And she said, Eric, okay, let's call with WhatsApp and put video on. She put it in, closed the door. 2 minutes after that, we were talking and the guy was on the door.
Oh, wow.
Trying to open the door. He was angry. He wanted to kick her. He wanted blah, 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 blah. So the result of not being in fear and doubt is that your like intuition opens up. So now you are at the frequency where this is the radio. This is the radio frequency of intuition. Because you're at ease.
That's right.
Because the intuition voice is really, really small. It's like, go left. The other four is underwater, fear, and doubt. Don't do that. Don't do it. You will die. You will die. I promise you, you will die. It will talk a lot. But the other four is intuition will just say this.
Mm-hmm.
No, stop working. Go upstairs and cuddle with your wife. It's simple, simple things. And if you listen to the simple things, and if you cuddle with your wife, you listen to it, you come home, you write a whole book.
Wow.
There you go. It's on the higher and higher. It's above water frequency where we can order and get immediately. The house I'm in, I got this house, is crazy. It's four rooms. I'm alone. Way too big. It's crazy. It's not normal. But I ordered this. I was walking here and I said, well, this is a nice building. I want to live here, but I want to live high and I want to have a view. So I had another house. They offered me another house on the 9th floor. I was like, yes, this is beautiful. Yes, yes. And I looked outside and was looking at a tree. I was like, oh, ah, fuck it. Yes, I want it. No, but it wasn't my order. So the company that rents this house told me, like, listen, we made a mistake. You cannot get the house. And then when you're above water, you know, ah, so this was not supposed to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because otherwise I will be angry on the water, fear and doubt. Now I have to fight. Now I'm going to fight to get the house. Now I'm at the 10th floor on the other part of the apartment. I have a wonderful skyline of Rotterdam. Amazing. Wow.
Nice. Amazing. So nice.
These things that I'm now describing to you will happen to people I coached. They will be in another frequency. They will follow their intuition. And they will just get like wonders. Little wonders will happen.
Yeah.
Wonders for viewers, but they will know what it is.
Well, Eric, we're coming to the end of our wondrous conversation. And thank you so much for your wisdom. And it's been actually quite therapeutic, I think. And
it's always nice talking to you, Mark.
I wanted to just one closing reflection. You know, Thomas Jefferson said once, without virtue, happiness cannot be. And apparently the root of virtue, vir, is power. And then power in French is to be able, pour. And when you study the virtues, I go back to Thomas Aquinas. I'm like, wait a minute. He was right. He said, they call it, when you live just the three core virtues, you know, temperance, prudence, charity, or love.
Exactly.
What happens is, and you try to live in a state of grace, the theologians say now you experience a kind of level of infused virtue, that level you're talking about. And yeah, it's so hard for us to even teach that, but to experience that, as some saints, mystics, whatever, have, right, affirms that what you're talking about is, that's the challenge, is can we live in a state of grace and live according to the law, those virtues, which are just common sense, you know, I mean, temperance.
Yeah, but we can. And you know, the thing is, if you promise people that they get younger when you do that, they suddenly are interested.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look at us. We hardly have any gray hair. So
you don't have gray hair. So you, of course, if a body is at ease, it can regenerate. It can rebuild.
Right, right.
It's a normal result of this. It can keep on rebuilding because you put in all the blocks, all the information is at ease. There's no fighting. There's at ease.
All right, Eric, thank you. I will put in the show notes where they can find you or not find you, because, you know, you're in Rotterdam. And
yeah, well, they can find you. If they find you, they find they'll me.
They'll find me. That's right. I'll be your agent.
I don't have a website, nothing. I only meet people because they know me, or from 6 years ago I done something and they introduced me. Because now I really retreated to write the book. You know,